Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Sirius FM, as well as our beloved listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Over the past few weeks, alhamdulillah, we did the four schools of thought and the imams, regarding the imams, meaning Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah, Imam Malik rahimullah, Imam Muhammad al-Shafi rahimullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. So after closing the series of the four schools of thought, today inshallah in this program we will be discussing Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, what was his principles and also the mistakes that he made in his life. So this will all be discussed with Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab Tamad Barakatuh. Remember the podcast for all the previous lessons, you can access it on our program and on our website as well, Marcus Sahaba website, and you can go and access those for the previous weeks. Let's welcome Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, pleased to have you on this program with us to teach us lessons, and today we're discussing Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah. Mufti Saab, what are the basic information to know about Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when one studies the life of Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykhul Islam rahimahullah, there are those people like Shaykh Yusuf Qardawi writes about Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, Baina Madihihi wa Naqidihi. That's a book Shaykh Yusuf Qardawi wrote regarding Imam Ghazali rahimahullah. So those who praise him and put him right on the sky, you know. And then those who are though very critical of him and say. So Ibn Taymiyyah also is like that. But in everything Islam teaches us, we must be fair and just. So it don't mean that we go one way blind and the other side also blind. So everything we must take the good and some criticism also we have to accept and so forth and so on. So let's make that the starting point. So Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was born in the year 661. And remember that if you want to know about him in English, the best book I found, because our people, most of them know English only. And Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi was a great, great admirer of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. You know, when I read that book by Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi, I was crying so many places. The Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. That is one of the best books Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi, Samahatu Sheikh Abul Hasan Nadwi wrote. Saviors of the Islamic Spirit. If you read the volume 2, the whole volume 2 basically is dedicated to Sheikhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. So one should read that to get much more insight, to understand his contribution towards Islam and so forth and so on. You know. So that's the first thing. So he was born, remember, in the year 661, and he passed away in the year 728. Okay, so that is what, and if you want, you must remember, you want to study in Arabic and all that, then remember that you study the works of, you know, the Tabaqatul Hufaz or Ad-Durarul Kamina and all those works. So you will find so much about Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykhul Islam and so forth. So 661, and just see your calculator, the Mauna, quickly. So born in 661 and passes away in 728. So 728 minus 661, so that will give you how long he lived and so forth. You must remember that. So his name was Ahmad, remember that. And he was born in a place called Haran. So he was known as Harani also. So Haran means that a place nowadays in Turkey. So in those days, Harani also, then Damishki and so forth, and then Hanbali also. So, gee, what, how many years old he was?
778 minus 661.
Not 778, Memorana. 728. 728 to
667.
Yeah. 728 to 661. So 67 years old he was when he passed away. So now, when we study him, you must remember, so any person you want to study his life, then you should know about who his students were and so forth. So this alone is such a sharaf and honor for him. So 67 years old he was, right? So when he passed away, so that's right now. So 67 years old when he passed away. So if you take Hafiz ibn Kathir, who is accepted across the board, whether you Shafi, Hanafi, Hanbali, Maliki, Salafi, whatever, everybody basically. But Hafiz ibn Kathir, Allama ibn Kathir, he's a student. He's a student of Ibn Taymiyyah. So you must remember that. In fact, if you go to Damascus, there's a graveyard called, there are two graveyards there that one should visit. One is the Maqam, the Qabristan, the graveyard that is known, you must remember, that where Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is buried, and where Sayyidina, the other Muazzin, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum is buried, you know. So Babu Sagheer and whatever they call it. So you go, it's very famous. So you just ask anybody that taxis, you understand, you want to go to Sayyidina Bilal's grave. And we've been there 3-4 times. So there you will find that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu is buried in the same graveyard. Then Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu, the blind Sahabi, Abbas Awatawalla, Jawla, Ma is also buried. So subhanallah, kudrat ka karishma, both Muazzin of Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, and remember that both of them are buried there in Syria, Damascus, right? So if you go to another graveyard, it's called Maqabiru Sufiyah. Maqabirus Sufiya, so remember that. So there, if you go to Maqabirus Sufiya, then you will find Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is buried there, and his student Hafiz Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah is buried there. You understood? So these are great, great things. We can't get away from that. Second one, his celebrated student is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah. So that was his celebrated, his greatest student like, you know. And they carried on with his mission and so forth. And if you see that other students who benefited from him and so forth were, you must remember, like Allah, that Imam Bazar. Bazar, Musnad al-Bazar, famous he also is. So he's also his student. Some ulama have even written that Allama Zahabi, rahimahullah, was also his student and so forth. Now Zahabi is considered even like, you understand, the level of Ibn Hajar and all that, and better than him in some aspects and so forth. Especially, you must remember in his memory, that Ibn Hajar says, I used to drink Zamzam water so that I have a memory like Allama Zahabi, but still I couldn't have that. So now if the man got such students, you understood, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Qayyim, Allama Zahabi, Allama Bazar. So, I mean, these are the giants we are talking about, you know. So we must remember these things here. Thereafter, if you look at his books and so forth, I mean, you know, today, till today the Ummah takes benefit. I'm not speaking about, I'll just give you 4 or 5 lessons, you know, that which I confirmed, not Idar Udar Kibate. You know, Idar Udar Kibate means we hear from here and there. When in Da'alum Newcastle, so Da'alum Newcastle started in 73, you know, 1973. Our principal, Muqasim Sema, rahimahullah, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. He was our father, you know, spiritual father. Our Muhsin. Even now when I went, first thing I did for the Ishtima, I went to the graveyard before I even entered Newcastle, you know, and went to make Dua Day to the Friday and so forth for Mawlana. So he passed away in 2007, our Mawlana Qasim Sema, 87 years old, 90 years old Islamically. So every year, like from 83 onwards, we used to invite like a guest, you know, special guest. Many a time local, many a time from overseas. So one day I made the suggestion to Maulana, Maulana, you are a great rabbi of Allama Kashmiri, rahimahullah. Allama Sahib passed away in 1933, but his son is alive, that Hazrat Maulana Anzar Shah. Understood. So why we don't invite him? Say, ha, ye behtareen hai, you see. So then we invited him, Maulana Anzar Shah. Understand, for Bukhari Khatam. I was there when Maulana spoke to him. This is also something, you understood, to remember. So that he told him that you will have to make the khatam and all that of Bukhari Sharif in Arabic. And so he said, bilkul, kabul, kabul, everything. Now I am the MC, so I'm just digressing for a moment. So he called me. Now it's Bukhari Sharif khatam. And a lot of ulama came, you know, because the nisbat and connection is the son of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri. So he, these are his words. Main izhar maafi zameer nahi kar sakunga. I won't be able to express myself properly, thoroughly, and all that in the Arabic language. So I'll just do it in Urdu. Understood? So I went to tell Maulana, this is what the man is saying. Maulana was very upset. He was livid, actually. But what can we do? Now he's your guest. You understood? And so he made khatam in Urdu. The students understood nothing, basically. But anyway, the ulama really enjoyed it from Durban, Natal, and Transvaal, and all these things here. So this was in the late 90s and so forth. So then I used to take him around. You know, I took him Dundee and here and there, Freyhead and a lot of all that, neighboring places. So he was a great lecturer, no doubt. So we spoke on different topics. So I asked him, Maulana, Hazrat, what you say and what Hazrat Walid Sahib used to say? I wasn't worried what he say. I say, what Hazrat Walid Sahib used to say about Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah? That is what I want to know. So he said, Walid Sahib to ye farmate the, Allah Shah Kashmiri used to say, ke wo to itne bare hai, un muhaddis, faqih, aur sab kuch jo hai, that when I look up, 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 meri topi gir jati hai. Who's saying this? Allah Shah Kashmiri, rahimullah. Meri topi gir jati hai. My topi falls off. You understand? My head falls off. So great. So he was a maddah. He was a great, great, you must remember, admirer of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. I'm taking you through the chronological table. Then you find, Abul Hasan Nadwi, I told you. Then you find when Hazrat Madani, Shaykhul Islam came, you must remember. Now Hazrat Madani had much more access to books compared to Hazrat Anas Kashmiri rahimahullah, because he taught hadith 15, 16 years in Madinah Munawwara in Masjid Nabawi, you know. So Hazrat Umar Hussain Ahmad Madani, he passed away in 1957. The student one, two are still alive. Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak of Ladysmith studied under him. And if you go today to Ladysmith, there's a Maulana there, Maulana Abdullah Mullah. So he and Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak came together in the ship in 1956. All this I verified. And Hazrat Madani Nawarallahu Marqadahu passed away in 57. You understood? So Hazrat Madani, when he studied the books of Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he was minan naqideen. He was those who were very critical of Ibn Taymiyyah. Do you understand? Why he was critical on the issue of sifat and so forth? That I'll explain to you, that what we say and what he used to say, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and that. So among the ulama, you will always find some who are very, very, you understand, admirers of Ibn Taymiyyah, and some were critical of him. Then you have Allama Kashmiri, he passes away 33. Then you have Hazrat Shaykhul Islam, you must remember Hazrat Madani, well, he passes away in 57. Then you have, you must remember, Hazrat Sheikh, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya. Now he had access to all the books. He spent so much time in Saharanpur, was his place, then in Madina Munawwara. And if you open his commentaries, you must remember on Mutta Malik and Bukhari and all, you will see he calls him Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. You understood? And he met all. He met, you must remember, Hazrat Madani and all of them. So, therefore, we must take always the middle path. We will say Ibn Taymiyyah was a giant in his field. You understood? Mistakes, everybody made mistakes. Who never made mistakes? You understood? But some mistakes are serious compared to others. That also we must admit. You understood? So, these are the things that we must know. Few other things of Ibn Taymiyyah, we must understand what sacrifices he made. Number one, he never got married. So there are giants in Islam who never got married. Allama Nawawi Rahimullah never got married. He said, I can't waste time with wife and children. I'm too busy. You understand? And even Taymiyyah and them, they say, "Bay, we are mujahideen and all that. And we haven't got time for all this. We can't fulfill hukuku, zoja and wife and this." So he never got married also. You see, another thing that you must remember, the more famous you get, so the more detractors they will be there, the more people will become jealous of you and so forth. That is a reality in life. Professional jealousy also comes. People in your own field also will make hasbara. Hasbara, you know, is the term of the jutlas, the propaganda and so forth. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, now he landed up in jail. You see, there are people when you tell the rulers, he's saying this, saying that. Half of it was lies and all that. Anyway, now if Ibn Taymiyyah was such, he used to speak the truth. You understand? He don't worry leaders, whatever, he speak the truth. لا يخاف في الله لو متلاهم. So now he put him in jail. The same people who were responsible for putting him into jail, now after 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever, they come and visit him. They ask him, how's things there? You know how people are. So you create problems for the person, then you come and ask, like the Americans nowadays, you see. Say, no, we want peace, we want ceasefire. But you are the biggest haramis, and you are accomplice in this genocide and all. Then you'll say, no, we're doing this and all this kind, like that. So they came to see him. So they asked him, how's things? Now who can give an answer like this? See the answer he gave. Batinuhu fihi rahmah. Where you are is something else, and where I am is something else. Batinuhu fihi rahmah wa zahiruhu min qibalil adab. Where you sitting and looking at me, you will think I am in terrible punishment and so forth. But where I am is Allah's rahmah and special mercy coming to me. In jail. You see? So you must remember. Who was Ibn Taymiyyah? He was a prolific scholar. He used to write day and night. You go look at his fatawa and all his books and all that. He was dead against the Shias. If you want a book that is a masterpiece against Shias, it's Ibn Taymiyyah's book, Minhajus Sunnah. You must remember, dead again. Therefore, the Shias never take his name. You must remember that. And all these pseudo-scholars and all of them who sympathizers of Shias, they don't like to take his name. Because he 100%, he said, they're out of the fold of Islam and so. Now, to add to that, Mohana Zahid, in jail, he's not going to kill time and so forth. Now, he got no pen, no paper. So, he started writing what coal. You understood? Some books he wrote with coal. Can you believe that? So now if a man does so much sacrifices, Allah will give him that, you understood? Rank and status and so forth. And he passed away also. He was arrested and so forth and so on. So in Damascus and so. So we must know that there were great, great sacrifices also. You have to pay for all what he stood for and so forth. So that is what we should know. And then, now when we look at him, as Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, so you must remember that min haythul aqeedah. So this is where the slight problem comes. You understood? If you study the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you find Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah themselves, you understand, are in two groups. That one group is Tafwidiyah. So you see, the truth of the matter is this. Always I say this. If you study all our darulums, India, Pakistan, South Africa, all, in Ilmul Kalam, which is Ilmul Aqa'id, our kitabs we teach are very, very insufficient. You know, we very cut you, to put it bluntly. You understood? Therefore, I say if you put a Salafi and you put our ulama or students with a Salafi, many a time the Salafi will win. Because they study 5, 10 kitabs of Ilmul Kalam, and we just do 1, 2 kitab and we think we understood. We never went very deep into it and so forth, you see. So that is a khami, is a weakness in our system. Now that we also have to accept and so forth and so. So now, if you see, now he wrote book, Al-Aqidatul Wasitiyah and all that. I got all these books there in the library, if you see, you understood. So many I gave away also. So anyway, that Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, now first understand what Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say. So the mutaqaddimin, the old ulama, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, whatever, they used to say tafwiziyah. You take, for example, Yadullah, Fawqa Aydihim. So now Yadullah, what does it mean? They say Allah Ta'ala's hand, He alone knows what it is. It's beyond our perception, impression, all these kind of things. And one thing is sure, nothing of Almighty Allah resembles us, and nothing of us resembles Allah Ta'ala. You understand? Laysa kamithlihi shay, and so forth. So end of the story, and finish that. So that is tafwiz. Tafwiz means Surah 40 verse 44, wa ufawwidu amri ila Allah, inna Allah basirum. I hand over my matters to Allah. So we hand it to Allah, only Allah knows, finish and clear, you see. So we believe in it, although we don't understand kayfiyat and all these type of things and all. So then you cut the mutaakhirin. They say no, ta'wiliyah. They say yadullah means quwwatullah. You see that? So they will say, it means quwwatullah, the power, and you must remember the majesty of Almighty Allah. So that in a nutshell is Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So they came, you must remember, you know, I can't even pronounce that word. But if you study Hazrat Muhammad Sadiq Desai, like Muhammad Sadiq Desai, very critical of Ibn Taymiyyah because of these issues here. So, what you call when you say enter something, anthropomorphology or something like that, that you say Allah has attributes, qualities very similar to that of human beings. You understood? You know the word? Yeah. You see, just put the anthropomorphism or something like that. You understood? So, he used the Mulana's English, you know, mashallah. So, not only he, many other ulama also, they said that. You understood? I give you one example of this. He wrote a kitab which I have somewhere. Nuzulur Rabb. You understand? Sharhu Nuzulur Rabb. So we say the hadith says that every night, you understood? The last third of the night is Nuzul of Allah Ta'ala. You understood? So we say is Nuzulur Rahmah, Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Is there written there?
Chi.
What did it mean? What they wrote?
Anthropomorphism.
Yeah.
Anthropomorphism.
Yeah, now what the big word is, you know, to pronounce it is a tongue twister.
Anthropomorphism.
Anthropomorphism, yeah. Now, what the definition they gave there?
Attribution of human characteristics or behavior to God or animal or object.
Yeah, you see, now that word they use. So you must remember for him. So this is the big debate. Now, how this thing started? So one day, this is what they say. They say somebody asked Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, that how Allah comes down. So he went to the mimbar and he climbed down. You understood? And he said, Allah comes down. But that story is not right. You understand? Even Mufti Taqi said, this is propaganda against Ibn Taymiyyah. You see? So therefore, what you need a person or a jama'ah who has to sift out the... He made mistakes, 100%. We're not... But certain things are attributed to him which are not the truth. Understood? So the person who said that incident never saw Ibn Taymiyyah. Now, how can you say that this happened and I saw it, but you weren't even there? You were born after Ibn Taymiyyah, you never saw Ibn Taymiyyah. Understood? So these are the things we must remember. So that is what the biggest problem comes in sifat and so forth and so on. You see that? So that is the bit. Then another problem comes about in other aqidah issues. I have a book. You must see if you can find it there. You go to the library. It's not the thick book. It's a thin book. You know, I used to buy a lot of books of Ibn Taymiyyah, day Makkah, Medina, when I used to go along. And before all those gadgets of internet came out and all that. And I used to buy some books that were naqd, making, you understand, tanqid of him, criticizing him. So one book I got is a thin book, you understand? So that Ikhtiyarat. So that person there, that he wrote so very well, very like balanced. He said, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's whole life, we have to break it up into 3-4 parts. Where he went against the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, complete, against everybody. Dalil where he went against, you must remember, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is, we say, all of us say that, right? That a person dies as a non-Muslim, right? The Sayyid, Majwa, Mushrik, this, that, whatever, you understand, Jew, Christian, whatever. So he or she dies, you must remember that. So that person there will go to Jahannam, Khalidan Mukhaladan Fiha Abada. Quran says that in the Surah 33, verses 64-65. So what he says, that Allah says, Inna Allah al-an al-kafirin. Verily Allah Ta'ala curses the non-Muslims. Wa'adda lahum sa'ira. And Allah has prepared for them a blazing fire. And a fire inferno, all that. Sa'ira, blazing fire. Khalidina fiha abada. Surah 33, verses 64-65. So that's our belief. They will be in Jahannam eternally, everlasting doom, gloom, finish. Now he, Ibn Taymiyyah, says, the people of Jannah, they will enjoy all the bounties, favors of Jannah eternally, forever and ever and ever. There is no finishing there. But he's got another masla, which is very ajib actually, but he says that, you understand? This he says, there's no doubt about it. So he says, but people of Jahannam, you see, they will stay there long, 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 very long, then one day will come. This is his now tafarrudat. This is what you call tafarrudat, his own ideas. He says that one day fina unnar, that Jahannam will finish up and there won't be Jahannam anymore. You understood? So that is what he says. Now if he's such a big sheikh and all that, now how he can, it's a big thing to make the statement like this. So now these are big people, you see. So now he says, go look at Quran. Now the ayat I read, Surah 33, verses 64-65, you must remember, that says, Khalidan fi abada. So we will say it's eternal, and that's our belief. So he says it means very muddatun madida, very, very long period. Sheikh Albani, who's a great admirer of Ibn Taymiyyah, wrote a book against Ibn Taymiyyah on this topic here. He wrote a book against him, which I have here. So he, Surah Hud, you must remember, chapter 11, verses 106, 107. See, I read for you. This is Quran now. Surah 11, Surah Hud, verses 107. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا Those people who are, you understand, kuffar and munafiqeen and whatever. فَفِي النَّارِ So they will be in Jahannam. لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرُ وَشَهِيقُ They will be crying, sobbing, all that. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا They will dwell and stay in Jahannam and all that for a very long period. مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ And as long as the sky and earth and whatever, meaning very long. Then Allah says, Illa ma sha'a rabbuk. Understood? So, but accept what Allah Ta'ala wills. Now we will say that whatever Allah wills, that Allah alone knows. But with this, we must look at other nusus and other texts. Chapter 11, Surah Hud, verses 106-107. Then Allah Ta'ala says, Inna rabbaka fa'alul lima yurid. So verily Allah does as He pleases. So from here, this verse, he says, one day, after million years, Allah knows, thousand years, there will be fina unnar. The Jahannam will get finished. That is his wording. We don't agree with him. But I'm explaining to you why the differences come. Now, if you look in the next verse, that is Surah Hud, verse 107, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ The people who go to Jannah because of their good deeds and Iman, Islam. So, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا The words are the same. مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ As long as the heavens and the sky and all that are there, إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ But then Allah Ta'ala says, أَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْزُوزٍ You see that? So Allah will leave them there and let them stay there in Jannah forever and ever. غَيْرَ مَجْزُوزٍ It will never end. You see that? So this is chapter 11, verse 108. So he took this meaning here. He says the people who enter Jannah will enter Jannah and stay there eternally, perpetually, finish and clear. No worry, no sorry, this. People of Jahannam, they will stay 1,000 years, million years, whatever, this is speaking of kuffar and mushrikeen and that. But one day, whether it's after 1,000 years, million years, whatever, so there will be fina unnar, you see. So, the fina unnar means Jahannam will get finished. You understood? So, he uses this verse here. So, now if you go see the tafsir and all that, lot of ulama wrote a lot of things there. But I want to just show you, now this is where he went against the entire Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You got it? So, that becomes a problem. You must remember that. So, but you can't say, like some people say, out of the fall of Islam now, But he's speaking from Dalil also. You must remember that. So this type of thing. So that's one masla. Second masla is this, that where he went against A'imma Arba. You see, when we have Ijma, so I told you before when we discussed Imam Shafi's lifestyle, so when they asked Imam Shafi, Rahimahullah, you speak about Ijma, consensus. So first is Ijma of Sahaba, that's the greatest Ijma and consensus. So prove to us from Quran that there is something like Ijma. You know, that was one of the notes we mentioned. So then he read the whole Quran once. Still he couldn't. Second time, then third time he read. Then he came to this verse, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَلْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِئِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And you follow not the path of the believers. So from there, Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah proved that there is something like Ijma. You understood? From Quran. Otherwise, you got too many ahadith and all that. But from Quran, the person wanted the dalil. So that is how Allah Ta'ala opened for him this and showed him that he had used this ayat here. And what taqullah wa yu'allimukumullah, Allah Ta'ala shows people, you must remember. So from that verse there, he proved the concept and the belief of ijma and so forth. So surah 4 and verse number 115, right? So the problem when we have, when we study Ibn Taymiyyah and fiqh and so forth, so this becomes the next issue now. So the issue becomes, you must remember, regarding masail. So now if we take Imam Abu Hanifa, you'll understand, born 80, passed away 150. Then you take Imam Shafi, born 150, passed away 204, like that. Then last week we did Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, born, you understand, 164 and passes away 241, like that. So it shows by the 3rd century, you understood, everything was done and dusted, right, as far as the fuqaha go. Now Ibn Taymiyyah, I gave you now, so when he was born in, so you must remember Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was born in 661, you understood. So this was the note I gave you just now. So if you look at it, he was born in 661, so he came in the 7th century.
Gee.
You understand that? Now this is the problem we have. So therefore, some ulama love him, some ulama don't, and some ulama, they in those days in Azhar, if you ask the old Azhar scholars, they in the old Azhar scholars, they used to call him Dal and Mudil. That was the title they used to give him. That for Ibn Taymiyyah. You understood? Then when the ulama start, you see, as I told you, you should start sifting things out, then they said, no, some ulama, they said, no. He's right. You must call him Shaykhul Islam and so forth and so on. So that's the issue. Now I just give you 3-4 masail, and this is becoming burning issues for us. This is called kharq ijma. Kharq ijma, to break the ijma. You understood? So this authentic hadith, you must remember this is in, you must remember Tirmidhi Sharif and so forth. La tajtami ummati ala dhalala. My ummah will not make ijma and consensus on something that is batil, that is false and so forth. One, it's sahih hadith. Second hadith is, you must remember that alaykum bi sunnati. You must follow my sunnah. Wa sunnatil khulafa'ir rashideen al-mahdiyin. Addu alayha bin nawajiz. It's sahih hadith. Go open Abu Dawood, go open Ibn Majah, Musnad Ahmad, all. You must follow my way, and you must follow the way of the rightly guided khulafa. You understood? So we must know all this. Thereafter, then they asked Nabi alayhi salatu salam, the lady asked, Ya Rasulullah, tomorrow I come, meaning in the future, and I don't find you. Then whom must I follow? Whom must I follow? So this is where your whole concept comes about of taqlid, taqlid al-shakhsi. That you follow one person, you see. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you must follow him. You understood? So you must follow Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah and so forth. Go up and tell me, you'll find it there. You understood? So it shows that this is now defining who we must follow. So, and Quran is telling us also, Surah 9 verse 100 and so forth. But you see, when you become, now, another thing you must know with Ibn Taymiyyah, aslan, originally, that he was Hanbali. You must remember that. He was Hanbali, originally. But the Hanbali school is like that also. There's a very fine line between Hanbali and Salafi. You understood? On many issues. We don't say on all, on many issues. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah was muhaddithan wa faqihan. You understood? If you ask who is Imam Abu Hanifa, you will say Imam Abu Hanifa was faqihan, then muhaddisan. You will say Shafi faqihan, then muhaddisan. Imam Malik faqihan, then muhaddisan. But if you ask who is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, you will say muhaddisan summa faqihan. You understood? The big difference between the two. Therefore, if you study al-fiqh al-Hanbali, you will find that he made aqallu qiyasan. Very few places really he made qiyas, an analogy and all these type of things. And you know, compared to Imam Hanifa or Imam Malik and all of them. So if you see now these muta'aris, ahadith or something. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal say, khud hada o zak. You understand? You can practice this or that. It's fine. You understood? So now Ibn Taymiyyah started off like that as a Hanbali. And so. But then mashallah, Allah gave him so much. There's no question about that, about his knowledge, and that everybody accepts. So what knowledge he had, very few people had such amount of knowledge. You just look at his kitabs and so forth. So you must remember, so now the point came on masail. Now if you take, I just give you three talaq masla. You understood? So he says, no, let us go to the aslul usul. We go to Quran Sharif, we go to Sunnah Mubarakah, we go this and all. So, this we also have to accept. In time of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, that first times, there were many times, that a sahabi gave three talaq, but he told Nabi alayhi salam, wallahi, my intention was one. You understood? I mean, it's still got mentioned, Muslim and all that. So therefore, he says, no, three talaq is one. But we say this ahadith, like in Bukhari, three talaq is three also. Now that we are in a stalemate situation. So now time came of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said no. In those days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive wahi, he knew whether the people are speaking the truth and lies or what, you see. So then it was in favor that, yeah, okay, fine, it's one you made. But in our days, who's going to get wahi? We can't get wahi, nobody gets wahi now. So therefore, we did it in Bukhari that day, the hadith we showed you, the Kitabu Shahada. You remember? That, yeah. Hmm. That we have to work on the prima facie evidence, the Zahir. You see that? So therefore, we say in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, the issue was again presented and he said no. That amdaynahu. We are going to now issue the verdict. Three is three, end of the story, and there's ijma. Now to say one side is ijma of Sahaba, and you come after seven centuries and say, no, it's three, talaq is one. So that's a dangerous thing. Why dangerous? Because you're making kharqa ijma. You're breaking the ijma. You're getting the point now. So that is where the problem comes. Now in time of Sahaba, from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time, we have ijma. Then a'imma arba'a, we have ijma. So that is where the problem. Sheikh bin Baz, till the end, he shouldn't accept. Sheikh bin Baz, I studied his works right till he passed away. We say, Rahimahullah, he was a great scholar, everything, but we don't agree with all his fatwa and all this. But till the end, his fatwa was that three talaq is one. You understood? So must remember that. If anybody knows about bin Baz, I met him so many times, you understood? So till the end, that was his fatwa. You must remember that. He would never agree. One place there in Bureida or one of these places in Saudi. So, all the ulama said three talaq is three. Bin Baz was passing there when. So, he asked them, what's the problem here? They said, no, this guy, this person, husband, gave his wife three talaq. You understood? So, then they said that, okay, Bin Baz is coming. He's the big Samahatu Sheikh, Grand Mufti. How we say Indo-Pak, Mufti Azam, then they say Mufti Am. You understood? So, he said his three talaq is one. That family had a big party and invited the whole town. You understood? So this type of things. As well, isn't it in his life books? You can read it himself. So we don't agree. I'm raising these issues here. So we need to understand the problem. You understood? And this type of things here. So that is how it works. So that is one issue. But we don't agree. Whether it's Ibn Taymiyyah, whether it's Bin Baz, whether it's who. We will say, now all these ahadith of three talaq, and this is another issue we must understand. All these issues of three talaq, They agree. Even Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam and them agree. If it is three talaq, one in 2000, one in 2010, and one in now 2020. So it's three talaq, they all agree on that. But the topic is tatliqatu salas fi majlis in wahid. You gave three talaqs at one time. Understood? At one time, one place. So is that three or is one? So that's the debate they make. You understood? So we say it's three, obviously. We're going to follow the four schools. We're going to follow Sayyidina Umar's death. We're going to follow the hadith in Bukhari. It's not something we took from our pocket or something. You understand? But not to say, that's the point I'm trying to make. They also got some dalail. There's different issue. We don't agree with it. So that is how they use it. But the fear in this methodology they're adopting, you're destroying the ijma'. And that's a very, very dangerous thing, especially in this day and this age. That time we can say Ibn Taymiyyah and them, they were very sincere and whatever and all that. You understood? Allah will forgive them. But the mujtahid, you understand? Either hakam al mujtahid and all either fa asaba falahu ajran. And wa either akhta falahu ajrun wahid and all that. So you get one reward and all. But now in this age, to go and open this door, as some people are doing, so that is very day. I got the fatwa here in my draw on top. So in Cape Town and there, some ulama, they doing that. That is the official fatwa. That we give fatwa if the day may ask called. So that is our objection. You understood? So I must remember. So that's one. Then if you study Taraweeh Salat, you see, now you take MBS and all these characters here. Everybody agrees that Taraweeh Salat is 20 rakats. You see that? So whether Shafi, Maliki, Hanafi, Hanbali, all agree. The time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu also was 20 rakats. Our Ustad, you understand, Sheikh Sabuni wrote a whole book on that, you understand, which I got there also. You must look for it there. About Taraweeh, Salat, and all this kind of misbah, something or something like that. So he wrote that. But now, Ibn Taymiyyah says that this whole Taraweeh issue is, you can't make tahdeed. You can't say 100%, you must read 20. You zadu alay or you kallu. You can read less than 20, you can read more than 20, like Imam Malik said, 36 rakats and all that. 36 rakats in this meaning that when the people used to make tarweeha, so they used to relax and so forth, so they in Medina, then Makkah first take, the people after 4 rakats, they used to make a tawaf and read 2 rakats salat in that pose, you see that. In those days, when I went in 74, you could finish a tawaf in 5 minutes, you understand? Hardly any crowd and so forth. So now in those days also. And then you read 2 rakats. So Imam Malik told his people there in Medina, they're making tawaf and then they read 2 rakats. So 2 rakats you read with the Imam. And then 2 rakats you read individually. You see that? In the tarweeha. So the first 2 rakats at tawaful bil baitika salat. So that's like salat. So you read 2 rakats. In the field, voluntary. And the other 2 you read like also. So that is how they got 36 rakats. 20 with imam and 16, the 4 gaps you got, pausing. So that's how they got 36 rakats and all. You understanding? So from there, Ibn Taymiyyah came, rahimahullah, and he said that you must remember that, no, you can't say you must read 20. You can make less. But it must be, Albani wrote all kitab on this, which I have, that you can read 8. We don't agree. I'm just explaining to you how these people, they don't practice even on what Ibn Taymiyyah said. So they said, Sheikh Albani wrote also, you can read 8, 10, whatever, but it must be, with qira'atun tawila, you start like now, nowadays 8 o'clock, you finish up 1, 2 o'clock. Who's going to finish like that? So these people today, they made killatul adad and killatul udad also. What I mean by that they cut the rakats also and they cut the kirat also. So if you want to use it, Sahaba say, when we used to read Taraweeh, I still remember the words in Mishkat in that, so long kirat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read, na'atamidu alal asi. Asa is one. Asi is plural. So we used to lean on our sticks, so long it was. So they made discount in the rakats. And they made discount in the kirat also. Just read Alam Tara, just read, khalas. I told you, my own experience, I went to Santana, Brazil. So that Imam, he stood up there, and what he said, I told him I went to Palestine 5 times and thus, and a lot of stories. And so they said, Anta a'lam minna ya Sheikh, you know much more than everybody here who knows about. So give us a talk. I said, fine. So now, I never expected. I'm Musafir, I'm spending 1 night, 2 nights, I'm carrying on going from here to there. And so he stood up after Isha, the Sheikh. As it is, they give the people discount. They make from 20 to 8, you know. So he said, that night we're going to read 4 rakats. You see, this is the fear. So he said, today we will read 4 rakats Taraweeh. Allah, he'll know also, is all right. Because why we won't read 8, Sheikh is going to give a talk. You see? So that is what happens. You must remember, when you make takhfif, takhfif, takhfif like this, then you end up making masakh of the Sharia. Understood? So that is what... If the words in Tirmidhi there, iqtadu bihadain, you understand, arajulain, that words I didn't give you in Tirmidhi, you can check it up, that when a lady asks, iqtadu bihadain arajulain, or wa ashara ila Abi Bakr wa Umar, you see that? So you must remember, follow these two. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and so forth. So that is why we have a big problem with this here, with the Salafis of today. You must remember that. Shaykh al-Islam and Taymiyyah were very great people. But in the same breath, we will say, we don't agree with everything of theirs. You must remember this type of things here. So here also, like I tell you, Imam Abu Hanifa was a genius giant. But his own students didn't agree with him in quarter of his fiqh or one-third of his fiqh. That's why you have so much ikhtilaf. You must remember that. So the usul, we must remember this, is what? You know, is this. إِنَّمَا اخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْلِ الْحَقِّ وَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ. That they differed for the sake of truth. They didn't differ really in truth. You know. And you found the hadith in Tirmidhi. Okay, leave that, write this here, this is important, I got 2-3 minutes left. Ibn Taymiyyah's one book is a masterpiece for people like us. He said, the title of the book is Raf'ul Malam, Raf'ul Malam, An A'immatil A'lam. Raf'ul Malam, which I have there somewhere there, Raf'ul Malam, An A'immatil A'lam. So he said, nobody got the right to blame any of the imams. You understood? Is there iqtadu bihadith?
Tirmidhi.
Yeah, Tirmidhi. So you must remember this, there's it there. Iqtadu billadaini min ba'di min ashabi Abi Bakr wa Umar. You see that? So you must remember, sahih Tirmidhi. There's it there, you got it. So you must. So see, from there we prove all these things. Then one more last thing. So Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said nobody got the right, like today some of the crazy Salafis, they want to attack Imam Abu Hanifa, attack this one, Imam Shafi or Imam Malik and this and this. So then jahalat that him. Himself he said no one has the right to blame any of these giants, a'immatil a'lam. You see that? So then a very very important point, this will be like the last thing we must know. You got Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, you have a celebrated student, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Now who is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah's, like one of his great students, is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. When that issue of 3 talaq came, and Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, no, he's one and this and all that. So Ibn Qayyim's student, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, like Imam Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's grandstudent. You know how we have grandfather, grandson like that. So, say his grandstudent, just to make us understand. He wrote a whole book on this. And he, now this breaks the Salafis to pieces. They can't answer this. Ar-raddu ala man ittaba'a, which I have also, ghayr al-madahib al-arba. A refutation of those people who follow anybody else beside the 4 schools. You see, so this is what we tell, how we break the Shias to pieces from your own books. So we tell the Salafis, we didn't write this book. You're all trying to hide that book, but you can't hide anything today because everything is there. So some people say, no, he didn't write it and all that. Somebody just put his name. Now that's a fairy tale story, you understand, and this type of thing. So that is what we need to understand. So to sum up, we stand by what we always say. Who is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? That Quran Sharif and the Sunnah Mubarakah, all the Sahaba are Jannati. Then we believe in Awliyaullah And for our own, in this day and this age especially, we say that is wajib, compulsory, that you follow the four schools, the Shafi'is, Hanafis, Malikis, Ambalis, and so. And don't go this way, that way all, because especially in this day, then you will go astray and so forth. So that will be the Khulasatul Kalam. Yes, there will be. It don't mean now we don't quote Sufyan Thawri, or we don't quote Imam Ozai, or don't quote Shaykhul Islam. We'll quote them. But if it goes against what we say of Sahaba and so, then we say that we don't accept it, finish and clear. You understood? So that is what we must understand. And then he passed away and so forth, and I told you his body there in Maqabir al-Sufiyya. Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, empowering the Ummah.